This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. And now it's time for your letters. I'm joined by Liz Weston. She's personal finance columnist for MSN and author of the book, There Are No Dumb Questions About Money. Liz, nice to see you.
Good to be here, Tony.
We are talking about the fiscal cliff this week, of course, and we know that the media coverage has freaked a lot of people out.
Yes, it has.
I imagine that your readers are asking a lot of questions, aren't they?
Well, interestingly, they weren't really tuned in until, just lately. I think it's finally occurred to them that their paychecks are about to get smaller. So what is this fiscal cliff? How is it going to affect me? Why does Congress put us through this so often? Those are the kind of questions I'm getting.
Questions without answers, it seems.
Exactly.
Absolutely. A lot of folks might think to themselves, Liz, that I want to lock in any gains that I've made from my investments this year. And I'm worried, though, that the cliff is going to do something that will harm me. So what advice would you have for anyone who is considering selling all of their stock?
I am not a person who believes in trying to time the market, particularly when Congress is involved. Now, because they haven't come to a decision or a compromise, the stock market is going to be volatile. That's just life. If you were planning to take a gain in the next month or so, maybe you want to do it before December 31st because capital gains rates are low. They're scheduled to go up. I don't think they're going to go down. So if you lock them in now rather than a month from now, you might save some taxes. Otherwise, I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you have a situation where you have very wealthy parents, there is something that's going to change, and that's the estate tax exemption amount. That's going to change and go down, gift tax exemptions. That's something to take to a tax pro, though. This is not something to do a do-it-yourselfer on. And in general, if you have questions about your tax situation, a tax professional is a great person to ask.
It just seems like this year, more so than others, December is a time to really concentrate on your taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year there's, general advice that you want to, maybe push income off and speed up deductions. This year it's exactly opposite. If we are going to see tax rates go up, you might want to take the income now, put off the deductions. But the fact is, nobody knows. So if you do go to your tax pro, he's going to lay out or she's going to lay out a few options or scenarios. But really, until Congress acts, we aren't going to know what the future looks like.
Listen to me. I'm taking up all the time. We're supposed to be listening to the listeners, and I'm trying to get my own questions answered. Let's go on the line right now and talk to John from, I think it's pronounced Anoka, Minnesota. Is that right, John?
Yes, it is.
So I know it's in Minnesota, but where in Minnesota is that?
We're about 40 miles north and a little bit west of Minneapolis.
Okay, you in the snow right now?
Just barely.
Just barely. Okay, well, welcome to the show. What question do you have for Liz?
Well, the question really revolves around what it's going to take to build a credit rating. Now, this is really for my daughter. She graduated last May from college, and between her working and, I guess, my working, we got her through college with no debt.
Wow, congratulations.
Man, that is great.
That's a big deal.
Good for you.
And she actually had a very good job during college, and so she was able to come out of college with about $8,000 in the bank.
Wow.
And she's got a car that's, a reasonable car, about 100,000 miles on it, that still runs very good, it's all paid for. So she landed a job in Minneapolis, one that she wanted this last summer. So she decided she wanted to try to buy a foreclosed house. She doesn't want to rent.
Okay.
So in the meantime, she is living with me. And so when she went to try to get pre-qualified, she could not get pre-qualified whatsoever because she had no credit rating.
Oh, yes.
So to kind of get around that, what we ended up doing, she did find a house that she really wanted. It was about a $70,000 foreclosed house. And so the way we're going to do it is that I'm going to buy it. The bad part is that now I have to buy it as an investor.
Oh, yeah.
Which means, a high down payment. But that's not a big deal on a house like this. So anyway, that I'm going to buy it. She'll live in it, make the payments, and then once she builds up a credit rating, she'll just buy the house back from me.
Okay, so what you're looking at is how to speed up that process of getting her a credit rating so she can take this house off your hands and this mortgage off your hands.
What she did was she picked up a Visa card from the credit union.
Okay, that's great.
This last summer, and so she's been using that gas and meals and things like that, and then paying it off every month. And so she's kind of at a loss as to just really what else she can get that she doesn't have to really end up paying for a lot for to help build that credit rating.
Well, this is actually a fairly common problem of people who avoid debt wind up having no credit score or no credit score to speak of. Credit scores are really important in today's life, and it doesn't mean that you have to go into debt to have a good one. The way she's using that credit card is absolutely the right way to go. Charge a little bit on it, no more than 30% or so of the credit limit. Pay it off in full every month. You do not need to carry debt to have good credit scores. If you want to speed things along and you're comfortable with this, you might consider adding her as an authorized user to one of your credit cards if
okay.
you have one. And you want to talk to the credit card company first to make sure that your information for that card will be exported to her credit file, because that doesn't always happen, particularly if it's not a spouse. But sometimes it does, and that's a way to get a kid kind of a jump start on a you know decent credit score. She might want to look at getting another credit card at this point. Having a couple in the mix can really help. Another thing that can help is a small installment loan, maybe if she wanted to, you know, replace that car at a certain point. So see what happens. You might want to track her FICO score or have her track her FICO score, because that's the one that most lenders look at. You go to MyFICO to buy that. And just keep track of it and see how her use of the credit card is helping. The only question I have is sometimes credit unions don't report to all three credit bureaus.
Okay.
So if they don't, she might need to look into what's called a secured credit card. That's where you give a sum of money to a bank,
right.
Capital One, Orchard Bank, whatever, and they give you back a credit card with a line of credit in the same amount as your deposit. So that's another way to get going.
I got a quick question for you, John.
Yeah.
Who taught her how to handle her money like that?
Probably her mom.
Hey, John, thank you very much. Good luck with that.
Sure, thank you.
Amy from Bakersfield, California. Amy, how are you?
I am doing great.
It's nice to have you on the show. You're on with Tony and with Liz. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question about student loans. My husband and I have student loans totaling about $107,000. Most are at 6.8%, but one is at 7.9%. And we really feel like these student loans are holding us back. So our plan right now is to just live on a smaller budget and pay as much as possible towards those student loans. And ideally, we'd like to try and pay them off in 2 years.
Wow.
I guess my question is, are there any downsides to doing this? Should we be saving for retirement instead?
That's a great question, Amy, and I'm glad you're asking it. First of all, I totally support the idea of continuing to live like broke college students as long as possible. That is absolutely great.
Yes.
But the thing is, with this federal student loan debt, I know 6.8% and 7.9% seem high, but that actually historically is relatively low for an unsecured loan. And the fact is, the interest is tax deductible. And it's very flexible debt. If either of you were to lose your jobs, if you had any other financial setbacks, you could get deferrals or forbearance. You have all kinds of ways to pay it back, graduated payments, income-based repayments. There's even the possibility of forgiveness. Doesn't sound like you're going to need that. If you can pay it off in 2 years, you probably won't. But I would say you are at a great time in your life to get started with saving for retirement. You do not want to pass up those opportunities to put money in a 401k, get a match, put money in an IRA or a Roth IRA. Get started now, and you will have so many more opportunities when you're older. You know, you can take some time off to have kids. You can take a sabbatical, whatever. But if you put it off, the longer you put it off, the harder it is to catch up. So I would say don't be in such a rush to pay off those loans. Take a look at what your retirement savings opportunities are. Make sure you have adequate insurance. That's really important. Health insurance, maybe life or disability insurance. Make sure you have an emergency fund. Then start pounding away at that student loan debt. Make sure all your ducks are in a row before you go after this relatively low-rate tax-deductible debt.
That's really good advice. Can I share something with you, Amy?
Sure.
In my office at my home, I have on the wall my paid-off college loan.
Awesome.
So one day you will be able, when you get that paper and it says stamped, paid in full, put it in a frame and put it on the wall. It's a great
okay.
feeling.
That's a wonderful yeah. achievement. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, personal finance expert Liz Weston answers more of your letters, including a California guy whose home is almost paid for. So why is he not looking forward to a debt-free future? That's next on Marketplace Money.
Marketplace Money is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. Liz Weston is with me here in studio answering your letters. And Liz, we have another California caller on the line right now. Mike is from Sacramento. He has a question about his mortgage. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
What's your question?
Well, I'm going to be paying off my mortgage in a few years, and I really enjoy having that mortgage interest deduction. And I'm wondering, is there a scenario where after I've paid off my home, should I take out an equity loan or something of that nature in order to get a mortgage interest deduction? I don't really have a need for the cash, but I'd like to keep my tax liabilities as low as possible.
You know, Mike, I understand that. What we can't let the tax tail wag the dog. And let me make it real simple. I've got a deal for you where you give me a dollar and I give you back 25 cents. Would you take that deal?
No.
Okay. That's what you're essentially doing with a mortgage tax deduction. You're paying a dollar in interest only to get maybe 25 cents back from the federal tax authorities, from the IRS, maybe a little bit more from the California Franchise Tax Board. But really, you don't get 100% back. So it really doesn't make sense to keep a mortgage just for tax purposes. Now, we were talking with Amy about her student loans, and mortgage debt is kind of similar to federal student loan debt in that it's relatively low rate, it's tax deductible. So if you already have a mortgage, you don't necessarily want to be in a huge rush to pay it off because there are more important things to do with your money. You should be saving a lot for retirement. You should have a FAT emergency fund. You should make sure you have adequate insurance. Maybe if you have kids, you should be saving for their college. Once all those ducks are in a row, then great idea to pay off your mortgage, but not before then. And if you are in the wonderful situation of having a California-sized mortgage and being able to pay it off, I would just applaud yourself for that. I wouldn't be in any hurry to extend it or do anything else because, as I said, the tax deduction is really not the reason to have a mortgage.
The situation that Mike is talking about is one that I think a lot of people fantasize about, which is being debt-free.
Yes.
But are we ever really?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can get there.
Really?
I just think some people prioritize it over all other financial goals, and that's not a good idea. Really, retirement is going to be incredibly expensive, I think much more than people expect. And I don't want to discourage anyone, but the later that you start saving for retirement and the less that you save, the harder it's going to be to have a comfortable retirement. This is why retirement has to come first. Before all your debt payment plans, before everything else, you got to be putting that money away for retirement. Then you can fill out around the edges and do the other stuff that's important, you know, insurance, emergency fund, paying down debt. But you really don't want to be that, you know, go hard to pay off all the debt and then worry about everybody else or everything else because you're going to be too far behind the eight ball. It's really hard to catch up. The longer that you wait, the harder it is.
Hey, Mike, how long have you been in your house?
11 years.
That's fast.
Yeah. Did you have a 15-year mortgage or have you been paying off a 30-year one faster?
I have 30, paying it off faster.
Wow.
Man.
Okay. And good. You don't sound like you're that old, Mike.
I'm just mid-30s.
Wow. Man, that's remarkable.
This is a guy that's got he's on the right track, isn't he, Liz?
Well, let's ask. Are you saving for retirement as well?
Yeah, maxed out every year.
Oh, dude.
Man.
Are you married?
I was going to ask that question. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Oh, lucky girl.
Man, this guy's really got it going on.
Congratulations, dude. That's great.
Absolutely. Great, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We have another caller. Let's see if this caller is like Mike and has done all the things that Mike has done. This is Sarah from Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. What do you do there in Arlington?
Oh, I'm the chief operating officer at a local nonprofit.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
And so because of that, a lot of my family and friends turn to me for financial advice.
I was going to say you get dragged in the corner
right.
at parties a lot. Yeah, I know that one.
So although I do work in finance and accounting, personal finance is not my necessary area of expertise. So I listen to the show pretty religiously, and I pick up tips to give them. So.
All right.
Well, that's what we're here for. Well, that's what Liz is here for sure. So what is your question?
So my issue is that my father, who is retired, was recently contacted by his employer to receive a lump sum payment of his employer-funded retirement benefits. Not the 401k, but something where he gets, you know, a payment every month. The lump sum payment would be about $100,000 less than, you know, the present value of all these future payments that he would have gotten.
Right.
But the sum, if he would take it, would be inheritable.
Ah.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't end at his death. It's something he could leave to you.
Well, yes. And his grandkids. He was thinking more of the grandkids, but.
Okay, cool. We'll take the self-interest out of it. That's
exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So he spoke to a fee-only financial planner who recommended that if he did take the lump sum, he should invest it in an annuity with survivor benefits.
Oh, okay.
Because he kind of relied on this employer-funded retirement. He doesn't have a huge 401k socked away.
Okay.
And so, but I've only heard kind of bad things about annuities. My question is, what do you think about these lump sum payments from employers? And have you had any good experiences with annuities in general?
Before you answer her,
yes,
let's explain to those who may not know what annuities are.
Yes,
I know
absolutely.
You were going to do that.
Yes. And here's the thing. Because there are so many different type of annuities, because they're so complex, people hear all kinds of things about them. Here's the big issue is that there are two very different kinds of annuities. One is sort of a retirement savings vehicle. You're putting money away and hoping it will be there for you in retirement. That's the one that tends to get the worst rep because it's often sold to people to whom it's unsuitable. It's not the best way for them to save for retirement. There's another type of annuity. It's called basically a fixed immediate annuity or a fixed annuity. You give a lump sum to an insurance company. They promise to pay you back a series of payments over time with possibly a survivor benefits like we're talking about here. The disadvantage of the fixed annuity, the one that's paying you all the time, is that right now interest rates are so low, the payouts aren't that great. So these fixed annuities can be a good part of your retirement. They can be like a pension, you know, something you can count on every single month. But a lot of financial planners I talk to are kind of reluctant to recommend them right now just because of that low rate. Anytime you're looking at an annuity, you want to have an objective second opinion, somebody that can look it over and tell you if you're making a good deal or not. If you talk to an insurance salesman, you're going to walk away thinking it's the best thing ever because they're not necessarily going to emphasize some of the downsides, which happen to be things like surrender charges, you know, or the fact that, you know, you might be locking in a certain return but giving up the upside. So
it sounds like Sarah's got some homework to do.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? I would go back with your dad to that fee-only planner and ask again, you know, what you're talking about and maybe even bring the insurance salesman in with you so that you can get a better understanding of what this is because it could be a really good part of his financial future or it could be an expensive mistake. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you both understand what's going on here.
A really good call, Sarah. Thank you. And good luck with this.
Thank you.
Liz, of course, thank you so much for all the great advice today. Personal finance columnist Liz Weston manages the website AskLizWeston.com. You know it's a pleasure having you, right?
And it's a pleasure being here, Tony. Thank you.